You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off. So, are we back to normal? Ladies, you know, we've been in a pandemic for a year and a half, and everything seems to have changed. And now that, at least in our state, in Michigan, my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we, in another month, we can be free of masks and walk into buildings unmasked and carry on life as normal like we did before. I've been thinking about this, and somebody asked me the other day, so are you still wearing masks when you walk into here and there or there and here? And I said, you know, I am. This has become almost a norm for me. And so now it feels actually a little strange to go out places without a mask on. And I feel funny when people stand closer than 6 or 12 feet to me. And I feel like I'm constantly on the lookout for somebody coughing or sneezing and of course we have allergies going too. And I feel naked. I feel weird going out in public without without a mask. I'll just say that, without a mask or without that sort of protection, or for some minds, perceived protection. And what happens with going back to work? Do we all just go back to work now? And I have a new puppy, and that leaves an interesting situation for many, many people going back to work that have pets. The animal shelters emptied out during the pandemic, and everybody has pets now. Now that people are slowly right. starting to go back to work, you're going to have pets being put in kennels for 8 to 10 hours a day. And we happen to have a trainer that has come once or twice, and she said she's getting overwhelmed with phone calls because people are going back to work, their dogs are being in kennels, and then when they get home from work, the dog is destroying the house and misbehaving. And well, it stands to reason, you know, you literally pen someone up and you're going to have pent up energy, you're going to have problems and frustrations. So life changed over the last year and a half with all of these things, with personal lives and business lives and mentality and women staying home more than the men have and roles changing. So all of a sudden, when we have, let's say, newfound freedoms or returned freedoms, how do we handle this? How do we feel about these things? And what in the world do we do?
Well, what is interesting is that, you know, just one thing stuck out for me, newfound freedoms. That stuck out for me because I am utterly amazed at how quickly the American people gave up their freedoms out of fear. We just had to turn the spigot of fear on, and suddenly, like, everybody was willing to give up their personal freedoms. And if they weren't willing to, they were shamed. They were canceled. They were shamed. And now that the disaster has quote unquote passed, we think, now somebody is giving back our freedoms, but I doubt it. Seriously. I doubt seriously that we're going to get all of our freedoms back. I think once you give power-hungry people power and control, they never give it back. And, you know, we're like, what is normal? Normal is just being able to function as a human being out in our culture where where our future and depends on us, not on the government. And as for, you know, people walk around and they're like, you know, are you vaccinated? Well, none of their business if I'm vaccinated or not. You know, I want to ask, are you taking anything for that herpes you have? You know, whatever happened to HEPA, right? Whatever happened to my body is my own body, and my medical history and my medical choices are my own personal choices that are private. I don't really understand why now it's all different.
Well, that's interesting, Judy, because the government or the courts just said that it's okay for your employer to require you to be vaccinated, in which case they have a right to know if you're vaccinated, right? Which is a whole new paradigm, which we haven't had. Although in some ways we have, because we've had it in schools where children have to be vaccinated. And honestly, I'm all for that. I'm for that children have to be vaccinated. I grew up in the area where we had polio, and having that vaccination was just a game changer for children growing up and not having to get polio. And I know that the flu shot and the pneumonia shot have been a game changer for me because I got it every year. But you're right. I mean, so many things are different now. Both of you are right. Let's just talk about the women who have had to stay home. Now they have to make a decision. And I'm wondering, are they going to stay home? And have they learned something about staying home and taking care of their children and schooling their children at home? Did they hate that and they can't wait till they get back in school? Will they send them back to regular schools with all of their flaws that I'm sure that a lot of people have found out during this time, that the schools were not teaching their kids appropriately, were indoctrinating them? And I'm wondering how many people will actually just close their eyes and send them right back, or be like this gentleman who wrote an article on how he went and talked to the school and, you know, wanted to see what they can do to make schools be better for their children, to allow them to excel if they were the type of children who could excel, or give them extra mm-hmm. help if they were the type of children that need extra help. And the school said, no, we can't do any of that, because of course we've talked about before that they are dumbing down schools, and if you are somebody right. that can excel, they're taking your programs away. So this father, I love what he said. He said that what he valued when he and his wife were looking at this, what do we do now? What he valued most in his life and his ethics was the development of his children's habits of success, variants, which also go by character or social and emotional learning, and that although academics were important, they were less important than having their children enjoy academics and offer them a path to build habits of success in life. And therefore, his end conclusion is to continue homeschooling their children. And I think that many people are going to go that way, especially now with this whole new teaching, the 1619 and the critical race theory teaching in Texas, that it has been outlawed, but in many states it has not. And parents need to really start thinking about if this is something that they want for their kids at this time. So many new things and new choices, right?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned the homeschooling. I think I'm hoping that parents have had an opportunity to, by force, I guess, just out of necessity, they've been forced to really see what their kids are learning and how they're learning. And I think that's hopefully been a great thing for families to really become in touch with their children and see how their son or daughter is learning. What type of learners are they? To my thought about people becoming homeschoolers as a result of having to stay home for the last year for pandemic. I think that's a very small percentage. It takes a lot for someone to give up their previous position outside the home and rearrange life in order to do that. There's financial situations, there are family dynamic situations. I just hope that people are learning from the situation regarding schooling. And that, yes, there will be some decisions made because changes are happening. My hairdresser has kids in a small school, public school situation here, where they're going to continue doing Fridays virtually. And so I thought that was very interesting to learn that there's that sort of change where they've decided Fridays, and they're talking about snow days, because way up north here, we have the option to have several snow days, which means you're not in school. So I think it could provide opportunity for kids to actually learn more because of the changes that could be happening.
Becky, I mean, I can't agree with you more on hopefully the parents saw what their children were learning and, you know, maybe they want to make a change. And that's why I wonder if society will go back. I mean, are we just going to be kind of like sheep and go back to what we were doing? Are we just like, okay, well, that was a blip in my life and I'm just going to go back to the way things were? Or did society and parents and workers learn things? I know in many companies, they are not going back to working in a building. They have decided to have people stay at home permanently. They found that it worked for them. They found that they could pay much less in costs. And they found that, you know, parents enjoyed working from home. They don't have the gas prices, because the gas prices have exploded under the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. I mean, just exploded. And so have many other prices. So some people have enjoyed working from home. And then there are those who don't enjoy working from home. So some companies are going to be giving up their buildings. I myself gave up one of my three buildings during the pandemic, and I don't miss it. My employees don't miss it. And I give them a much more flexible work schedule from home and business as to what works for them. And I think that many people are going to be enjoying that now. And then we have, you know, the situation where the pandemic is ending, but people are still getting unemployment. So they're taking advantage of that. And they're not going back to work, which is seriously affecting so many businesses right now. They can't find employees. And I know there was a group of us that went to dinner, no masks, Becky, the other night.
In Texas, though, right?
In Texas, yeah. And we had eight of us, and we were at a fairly new restaurant, but it's a restaurant that has more than one branch, and the food was very good, but the service was absolutely horrible. Why? Because they can't find any servers. So we had eight of us, and it was not an inexpensive restaurant, and we never asked for anything from the restaurant. We did say, hey, you guys need to, you know, do something about your service. We understand what's going on, right, with the fact that people can't find workers and they have to train new people. But, you know, I mean, we can't sit here for 3 hours waiting for a meal. And they comped us for all eight people, every single thing we had, the entire dinner, all of the drinks, all of the desserts, and even gave us desserts to take home. Now, I would never ask for that because I feel bad for these places.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, you see what's happening. It's not like the pandemic is over, so things are back to normal. They are not back to normal.
Right. Well, that's disturbing. I mean, to me, it's disturbing to think there are so many people on unemployment who are choosing to not go back to work and just take the unemployment. I'm still finding it difficult to wrap my head around that. Am I just being naive?
It floors me. It's not at all how I was raised at all. And it's not how I'm raising my girls. As I raise them up to be hard workers and to earn their keep. And I, I, it, it is such a vicious cycle in that I look at, you know, there is nothing back to normal at all about what's happening, at least in our state. I still can't go to a restaurant and sit down with seven of my friends. I can sit down with six, but I still can't sit down with seven. And, you know, we went out to dinner or lunch. It was last week, and we were completely separated. They're like, well, one of you has to sit at this table over here. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Okay. Meanwhile, our governor is going out for a girls' night out with 12 other women, right? And is photographed, and she's fine sitting at the same table with them and not social distancing. But it just really, that totally irks me. Why do one of us have to sit at a separate table? What exactly is that going to do? Especially when they're all vaccinated, right?
Well, that's the point. What is the magic number? Is it six won't get at COVID, but if you add the seventh, you all will? I mean, what?
Exactly.
These things are ridiculous.
I don't get it.
They just came out and said that the mask, in Fauci's own words, the hypocrite, that the mask does not protect you from COVID. So, Becky, you don't need to wear it.
But yeah, I'm not on board with that. I think I know that if I have a head cold and I walk up to someone I know and I cough or spit or sneeze on them, the chances of them getting my cold is pretty good. And so I've been a mask wearer, and here's a good one. Here's something that's going to change for me personally because of my business and what I do. And I just shifted into my professional voice because of what I do. It's extraordinarily detrimental to me to lose my voice. And if I catch a cold or if I catch influenza, I lose my voice. And when I don't talk, I don't work and I don't earn money. So during that flu season, moving forward, knowing how well I can help protect myself from what's in the air or walking through somebody's coughing and sneezing, I'm going to continue to wear a mask during cold and flu season when I go to the grocery store. And I don't care if anybody looks at me funny, but I tell you, I've been healthy for a year and a half, and I'm not sure that's ever happened in my life.
Yeah,
I have too.
I was pretty healthy, although I did get that COVID thing, but
although I did get COVID,
and I've been healthy.
Other than that, no. Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Oh my gosh, I got it pretty early on, but I think that from what I've read, the masks help other people. They don't necessarily help prevent you from getting sick. They said that they prevent other people from getting sick. So if you have it and you sneeze, it's that type of thing. A lot of people will actually get sick through their eyes. That's a common place of transmission. It's not necessarily that you're breathing in the virus. You're just sort of walking into it or walking.
You're absorbing
through it.
You're
absorbing it, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if you wearing the mask is going to protect you, but it will protect others. But who knows? Because you know that's the latest, but it could change. You know, that's what science is. It's constantly evolving. The more information we have, then the more deductions we make, and you know, we come up with new theories. But that's really what it is. It's theories, right?
Well, in that same vein, Judy, a lot of what has happened this last year, and let's say year and a half, this has all been novel for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
The scientists are human and they're doing mm-hmm. the best that they can with what they know and what they understand. And I can only trust someone who went to school for 8 or 12 years, because I didn't. Right. And you have to trust somebody to some degree. And so mm-hmm. that's what I've been doing. And I know, you know, I'm
not saying wrong. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think,
no.
I think that everybody has their own choice. You know, they're going to choose to be vaccinated or not. They're going to choose to wear a mask or not.
Yep.
They're going to choose to fly or go to a restaurant, or I don't know. Do you know what I mean? But everybody has personal choices to make regarding their personal health and their life. I think the scariest thing about all of this is that the government has been trying to make all those choices for us. And that is absolutely not what America is about.
Well, and what's up with the government now discontinuing the investigation into the origins of COVID when it comes out that that in nature, 4 amino acids in a row can't happen, and this absolutely was man-made? And why do we then shut down the investigation? I mean, what are we protecting?
Yeah.
China for some reason? What would be the reason? Because the people who profited from COVID are the same people who created COVID in so many ways. I mean, Fauci and the Chinese government, they profited tremendously by all of the PPP that was sold, PPE, I should say. The medicines that they create in China, and they profited while the rest of the world, you know, suffered through thousands and thousands of deaths and people out of work for over a year. And the long-term effects of this is going to be exactly that, very long-term effects in so many different ways. And now on top of that, we have our government making decisions that are raising our prices on so many things. We have Russia coming
right.
in, and they are,
attacking us,
attacking our meat companies, our oil, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that are important, which is raising our prices even more. So all of these people that have just been devastated in income for over a year are
right.
now suffering with very, very much increased prices on so many things. And when you talk about oil, you're talking about every bit of transportation that happens to get all of the products that you buy to you. So everything will go up. Food has gone up, oil has gone up, you know, and in the process of oil going up, we're shutting down the pipelines. I mean, we're not out of the woods here, ladies. We're not
out of
the woods.
We're so in the thick of it. And I was trying to explain to my nieces that this is what socialism brings you. Okay. This is what you voted for. And I was trying to figure out how to reach them, right? That, you know, that how do I reach them? How do I explain to them, right? That, you know, it attacks, it attacks our culture, and it attacks our way of life in every aspect of it. And, it doesn't matter how much money you have or if the government takes all the money and redistributes it. If there are no products available to purchase, there's nothing, you can't buy it. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. If it's not there, you can't buy it. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, and I was trying to think, what can they relate to? I said, well, look, Chick-fil-A is out of its special sauce. They can't get it. And they're like, what? And I said, yeah. I said, first off, we've got, right, you have all of these workers that don't want to go back to work. They have their stimulus checks, and they are on unemployment, and they don't want to go back to work, right? So you don't have enough workers to create the product, right? And then you also have, Russia is attacking our infrastructure, right? Through cyber attacks, and you're not going to be able to get the things that you need to manufacture the products. You can't get the people or the ingredients for the products. And our economy will be shut down. You watch. Our economy is going to be totally, I mean, we're going into a recession. And well, I sit there and I'm like,
a time of inflation for sure. But right now,
for sure.
Right now, with everything coming back, I do expect an economic boom. But after that, I expect an economic drop, because we have to boom because we're going to be bringing some things back. But right now,
like
inflation is going crazy, and you know, the price of lumber and you know all of the that affect everything else we do. So when our administration says nobody making under a certain amount will pay any new taxes, oh yeah, but you're going to pay you know double the prices. So it's still effectively a tax. And when you tax a business owner more money, they raise their prices. So everybody's going to be paying for that. So that's just a bait and switch. And that's what we're dealing with. And I see things going up. And then I actually feel like they're going to crash after that. I just do. I'm concerned about it.
Well, my question, one question I have is when's the moratorium on foreclosures up? When does that, you know, when like evictions and foreclosures, when are landlords allowed to again take possession of their own property? That'll be interesting because
I think that's very soon.
I've heard that it is. But I also heard that like some of the banks like Wells Fargo is going to wait until I think next year before they proceed. But I'm thinking that it feels like they're just delaying the recovery. The government is delaying the recovery of our economic situation. Truly. I do. And I think that's part of this whole bubble that we're in with property. I mean, I don't know if it's happening around you, Linda, but I mean, a place will go up for sale and it sells above asking price within 3 days. And it's because there's no product on the market, I think.
Well, in Texas, what's happening is people are coming from California and from Chicago and paying cash for homes. And it's really kind of acing out the Texans whose property values have, you know, stayed sort of flat. However, now they've gone up. So now I have friends trying to buy a house right here by me, and they have bid on so many things, and there's 10 people that bid on it in a day or two. And it, you know, what are they taking? They're taking the cash offer that's 50,000 more than the asking price, and that's what they're doing. And were I a seller, I would do the same thing. But man, it's just very tough for the regular working people right now.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It is. It's incredible to me. And yeah,
Last either. You know, it can't last.
No, it can't. It definitely cannot last. So I don't know how you navigate through that. You know, we have our house up for sale, but of course.
Oh, you do? Oh.
I know.
No. It's not happening, is it?
No. Oh my gosh. And we only had one showing so far. And Brian asked me, are you praying that we don't sell the house, honey? I want to make sure our prayers are in alignment. So,
Oh no.
But
I hope they end up being in alignment. And you end up selling quickly. And as far as, you know, what's going to happen now, I mean, we're going to have some more discussions about this as things go along, because life is changing very rapidly right now in our country, and so much to discuss.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our five-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off, and I am Linda Martinelli. I would like to introduce my co-host today. We have Becky Kolmainen. Becky is a voiceover artist. She is an amazing talent. And we have Judy Moran, another amazing talent, both from Michigan. And Judy is a business owner. That would be the simplest way. She does so many different things, but a business owner is a good way to put it, entrepreneur. And thanks for joining me today, both of you. I love our conversations. The two of you are absolutely crazy sometimes. So let me get onto a serious subject here. In the news, there was very recently a shootout. The shootout was between police officers and a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old child. That in itself sounds horrifying to me, but let me tell you more about the story. These two children were in a foster home, and they both ran away from the foster home. So you have a boy who was taking medication for, I'm not exactly sure what, but suffice it to say that he needed the medication every 4 hours in order to not have episodes of violence and misbehavior. The girl was, you know, a foster child, and so the two of them ran away together, and the foster home reported them missing, and the police were out looking for them. And as they were looking for them, something happened that they became aware that they were breaking into somebody's home. So probably I would assume that they maybe got hungry or tired, and they wanted, you know, a place to go in and get food and maybe water and sleep. So they broke into this person's home, and the person then communicated, the person was not home, but he communicated with police that, hey, you know, there's people breaking into my home, and I have two guns that are out, a shotgun and I think it was an AK-47, so a long gun, and you need to be aware that that is out in my home and there are 200 additional rounds. Well, needless to say, these two children found the guns in this person's home as the police surrounded the home. Good thing that they didn't just walk in on them. And the kids started a shooting match with these police officers. One police officer had a particularly good vantage point to see these kids. And the kids continued to fire round after round after round. Don't forget, they had 200 additional rounds. And this one officer was behind a tree, which ultimately saved him. So as far as I know, at this point, no officers were hit. But one child, being the girl, was hit but not killed. And that's where we're at with that story. So here's what's so disturbing on so many levels to me. And it's not what you might think. It's not that the police were shooting back at the children who were shooting at them. That what's disturbing to me is I have so many questions. Number one, why are these children foster children? Where are the parents? And what is happening in the country that we have so many children in this situation? I call them sometimes throwaway children, that people just have children and they end up being in a foster system, which is not a good way for our children to live. Secondly, the foster home where they ran away from, who knows what kind of foster home that was, and we need to be looking at that. But you have this boy who needs his medication, who doesn't have his medication, and it leads me to think, can we do something better for those people in our society that have mental problems one way or another than just medicate them every 4 hours? Can we not do something better? Can we not have some better system for our homeless people, for our children, for our family members that need help for mental issues than just medicate them? And then you have the last issue of them absolutely being willing to get into a shootout with police at 12 and 14 years old. What kind of life have they had? I would never have touched a firearm at that age. I do now, but I never would have at that age. And what is the climate of the country with movies, with games, with defund the police, with prosecuting and persecuting our law enforcement, and with our justices and district attorneys letting people off for all kinds of crimes? So lots of issues there in that one story in my mind. Becky, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack. It's absolutely heartbreaking. The story is heavy, and they are children. They're 12 and 14 years old. So that's just, it's hard to wrap my head around that. I know at 12 and 14, my mind was not on violence in any way, shape, or form, except I have to admit, my brother and I may have had scratch fights in the car on long trips. That's the extent of violence. We didn't even cross our minds about weapons or I'm sure we played war, but it wasn't as a result of things we had seen per se. In the article that I've read about this situation, the one thing that stands out that bothers me, because a lot of this bothers me, but one thing was apparently the boy, the 14-year-old, and this is a quote, said, "I'm going to roll this down like GTA, referring to the video game Grand Theft Auto. And the deputy apparently tossed one of the kids his cell phone so that they could communicate. And he said nothing worked. Nothing could get through to these kids. No matter what they tried, the deputy said, these kids were literally out to kill policemen. They were out to kill people of authority and obsessed with this game, apparently, Grand Theft Auto, which I've heard of, I don't know anything about. But the 12-year-old, at age 12, the girl came out of the house at one point and pointed the semi-automatic weapon at the officers. And so this is like Bonnie and Clyde child version. It's like the Lego version of Bonnie and Clyde. It's just so bizarre that everything's become allowable. And kids watching these violent, violent video games. I know they're rated. I know there have been discussions and, you know, there's PG-13, there are game ratings for adult only or this and that. It's not, there's no monitoring going on. Kids have access to this. And what fills your mind then actions follow in many cases, especially if there's a mental health issue, which in this case, it sounds like there is, and you don't, it's a chicken and egg thing. How has this mental health issue happened? Has it become a result of abuse or some situation? They are in foster care. There's a lot to this story that we don't know, but the fact remains they are children that are pursuing, actively, intentionally pursuing violence. And the system is broken, and we do need to find a way to help these situations. People, yes, but many of these are situational cases where it starts with parents, it starts with foster care. There are problems there, lots of problems with foster care. The parents themselves have problems, or the parents are doing foster care for all the wrong reasons. I don't have any answers whatsoever. I just acknowledge there are big, big problems. And this is a very sad commentary on those problems.
Yeah, it's just, it's a culmination of, I feel, you know, it always goes back to, I feel like our conversations always go back to the home and the parents, right?
Yeah.
That's where it always begins and ends. And what you have, these children are in foster care because their own parents were unable to care for them. And I think it seems like it's so much easier now in our society to just walk away from your children. Or it's the opioid crisis, the heroin crisis, the fentanyl crisis, the drugs that are in our midst. Steal people's lives away. And I know that is, I mean, honestly, how we ended up with our baby girl, because her parents were drug addicts and could not care for her at all. And this is so, so common. And then they're put into the system, and the system is so overloaded and ill-equipped to handle these poor kids, right? And they go into the system and they try to find somebody in their family that will take them. And if nobody will take them, then they go into a foster care home. And like, you're right, you're absolutely right. There's some really amazing foster care parents. And then there are some who just do it for the money. I've heard so many stories of people, you know, their refrigerators are locked and the children cannot get the food. It's a sad, sad situation. And you look at our culture, the whole Grand Theft Auto game that you were talking about, Becky, our video games, our movies, our TV shows, the video games and the TV and the computers are the babysitters now. I cannot tell you, I mean, how hard my children lobbied me to get a phone. Right. And we were, you know, I can tell you that we were one of the last people to get phones in our whole group of friends. And our kids were the last ones to get phones in their grade and their school and everything. Cause I just felt like, you know, Brian and I always felt like we wanted to be the number one influence in our children's lives, good or bad. Right. And the minute you give them a phone, it opens up a whole new world. We never let our children watch violent or sexual movies. I remember Gabby, they were studying the Titanic and at school, and she was just in third grade. Okay. And our friends let their kids watch the movie Titanic. And she wanted to see it. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, I don't think we're ready to see the Titanic yet, honey. And she was sitting in her little car, you know, they were still in booster seats in the back. And she's like, but why, Mom? And I'm like, well, because there's, I don't know, because there's love scenes. And she's like, well, what's a love scene? And I'm like, well, it's when they kiss a lot. They kiss a lot, right? And she's like, oh, Mom, I've seen that. And I thought, oh, what have you, the halls, you've seen it over at the halls, haven't you? Right. She's like, no.
no, no, Mom. It's when the prince kisses Cinderella. And I went, oh, of course, right? But that was her take on it, right? But that's a parental decision. Do I let my children play violent games? Do I let them watch shows on TV? I mean, heck, there's boobs flying all over the TV now in just a regular primetime show. I don't understand that. And the language is horrendous. And people look at me and think, oh, you're such a prude.
Right.
No, I'm not. I can swear like a truck driver, just like everybody else. But my children aren't emotionally and intellectually ready for that. They don't know how to handle it. And these two babies that are shooting up the cops prove that. They can't handle it.
I have to tell you, Judy, something, and Linda, something that I just saw the other day that shocked me. And I know this is very small and simple, but it really left a tremendous impact in my mind. It was a commercial, and I don't even remember where I saw it, except on my television, or during, I mean, what network, if it was Netflix or Hulu. It was a commercial for a stand that a parent attaches to a baby's changing table. And it's a like a plexiglass clear L-shaped attachment to the baby's changing station. And the parent sets their cell phone face down on this transparent, yes, so that when you're changing your infant, they're able to watch something on the phone. And I tell you, that's
horrible.
I can't even find the words for how sick and wrong. It's an infant, and they want this kind of interaction with their infant child instead of interacting with the child by looks and coos and talks and singing, humming. How about just humming to your children and creating a calm child? No, it's like,
they always constantly have to be entertained. They always
from day one. And we are creating and encouraging this in our society. So we wonder why these things are happening now. And it's, how do we stop this? This is a bullet train. I don't know how we stop this. I don't know.
It's all about the money though. The companies, the people who are producing the shows and the video games and the movies are making money hand over fist. I think the more violent, the more shocking they can, the more money they make.
I agree.
And it's always about the money. It's just always about the money. And even I remember the Super Bowl quite a few years ago when Janet Jackson had her wardrobe malfunction, right? And so, you know, everybody was up in arms, right? And it's true. We should have been. This is a prime time show. It's a family time show. It's supposed to be, right? It's family fun and football is what it's supposed to be. But instead, you know, she had to go ahead and flash her breasts all across America. And now they're coming out with, she's coming out with how she was shamed and she shouldn't have been shamed. What?
But all of the Super Bowl shows of late have had
all of them.
Sexuality or violence in them. I mean, Beyonce standing there, you know, on top of a police car and, you know, I mean, that's shameful. I just really worry about society in general. With the divisiveness that's being created, with this whole race talk that's being thrown into our face. I mean, for me, I don't believe that there was a racial issue, and we're being told that there is. We're being forced to believe that there is. Our kids are being indoctrinated that there is. And what's happening is we're dividing the people in this country by race, where now the white people are afraid to trust the black people, even though they did before Barack Obama ever got in. and vice versa. Right. The blacks are afraid to trust the whites. The blacks are, many of them are using this to their advantage, which really is to their disadvantage. And so many people are just good people, and they need to speak out because it's just the few that are harming the many. And to have this constant racist thing, it's, if you look at Biden's $6 trillion infrastructure thing, it says we're going to fix the roads that have created that were built with racism in these low-income communities. What, really? The roads were built with racism? I mean, come on. They've injected this. So now we're becoming a society that doesn't trust each other in so many ways. And people are looking twice at each other now where they never would have. Where maybe I would have had a smile on my face to anybody that I meet. Now I'm distrustful because we're being fed mm-hmm. this whole story about that we are all enemies, and I hate what's happening. And what concerns me is our kids are being distrustful of each other now. And our kids are in the schools with the face masks and the I don't know if you've seen the videos of the teachers that are shaming and yelling and demeaning our children. Mm-hmm. Children are there. They don't go to school with joy. They go to school with trepidation. And we're taking our throwaway kids, like these foster kids, and we're not taking care of each other anymore because they have made us feel divided in so many ways. The government can't take care of anybody or anything right. I'll tell you what, I was just in California and near my office is a fairgrounds. Okay. It's the Pomona Fairgrounds. And I was driving by there on my way to a friend of mine's house, and there was cars going into the fairgrounds, but you can't see into the fairgrounds anymore. They have blocked. So all the fence around it, they have put coverings over so you cannot see in there. I was like, what? That's different. Yeah. You know, what's going on with that? So I asked her, she said, there are 2,500 illegal immigrant children that came over the border by themselves in that facility. I was horrified. I had no idea. And just here in Texas in the last month, we have 17,100 that have come over the border in the last month, unaccompanied children. What's happening to our children? How many of these children are going to end up in homes like these two children who were, you know, shooting guns? This is our future of America. And what are we doing here? We need to be taking better care of our children.
Oh my goodness.
But like Judy says, that starts in the home.
Mm-hmm. It is in the home. It's absolutely in the home. But the homes are not being valued, Becky, anymore. The homes, the married nuclear family is no longer being valued in this country.
That's right.
And the ways in some of the societies that you know, like you have Black Lives Matter, who's done nothing for people of color, nothing, except for get them in a lot more trouble. Yet you have millions of wonderful people of color that are family people, that are earning a living, that are doing the right things, just living their lives like everybody else, okay? They are the people that need to speak out and tell other people of color that Black Lives Matter is not your path to a good life, but here's what you do. You know, you stay with your family. You don't have your children out of wedlock. You work, you know, you're not out there being gangbangers and that type of thing. That's what we need. We need the good people of all races, of all colors, just to stand up and be an example and speak up as to doing the right thing instead of our corporations supporting organizations like Black Lives Matter, which is imploding on itself right now, because even the people that thought that they were going to be supported by them have found that all that's happening is that these three women who started it have taken the money and feathered their own nests. rather than doing any good in society. So, you know, we need to go back to basics in this country. I think I'm terribly worried about our children.
Hear, hear. I agree.
That's why I think it does. That's why it always goes back to the home and how, who you be in your own home, who you be as a parent, as a spouse, as someone in your community. It's that's the only way, you know. And you talked a little bit about homeschooling. Of course, I couldn't homeschool to save my life. We'd be going on field trips all the time, but
it's a good thing.
And yet I'm super involved in our school system and in, you know, by volunteering, and I've been blessed to be able to do that. But I do have a full-time job also. It's difficult, but I know that it's important for my children to see me as a presence at school, as well as being involved in their studies and who they be at home too. It always leads back to home, and all of the money and all of these programs, they should be investing in encouraging the nuclear family, just like you said, Linda. Instead of spending, it seems like they spend money to literally break, to make it easier on people to break up their families rather than easier to stay together and tough it out.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.